Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Jan said she had computer problems last week. She said she started having problems as soon as she started listening to the Jane Miller lessons. Now maybe the devil didn't want you to hear them. There's a lot of truth in those lessons. That's why I put them up there. Well, how's everybody doing today out there in Pal Talk land? Good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, anybody have anything to share off the bat before we start? Anything on your heart? Rich says doing good in the battle. Very good. Good for you, Rich. I'm just going to do one song tonight quick. It's a song y'all heard, but I just wanted to sing it tonight. It's called Hide Me in Your Holiness.
Hide me, Lord, in your holiness. Every sin I now confess. Praise to you, forgiving Lord. Hide me in your holiness. Hide me in your holiness. Won't you hide me? Oh, hide me. Take my life and offering all of me to you I bring. Praise to you, O spotless Lamb. Hide me in your holiness. Hide me in your holiness. Won't you hide me? Oh, hide me. Hide me.
Holiness. Thanks, Brother Rich. Anybody in the room have anything to share? Lord speaking anything to you? Oh, we got Rich here. Hang on a second. We got Brother Rich. Sorry about trying to see that. Go ahead, Brother Rich. You got the mic.
I just want to praise the Lord for what he's been doing in my life and all of ours, really. He's bringing us to a place where we have to totally rely upon him. That's a good place. The testings may not be easy, but I thank God for them right now because he's showing me the condition of my heart, and it's a good thing. No matter what I have to go through, I ask the Lord now to bless me with that. Test me, Lord. And I see the Lord, and he tastes so good. The Lord is so good tonight. I just want to praise his name. And I wanted to thank you, Daniel, for Jane Miller and Dick Miller's thing on your website. It's just really been a blessing. I didn't realize all those things that they were talking about. It's all new to me, most of it, but it is so good. And I encourage everyone to look at those because it's getting back to the basics of battling the enemy and getting deliverance. So anyhow, bless you all tonight. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. Thanks for sharing, Brother Rich. Praise the Lord. That's right. What you said was very true, brother. Psalms 139, 20, 24, David says, "Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting." So many Christians won't do that. All these false doctrines, eternal security and the grace and God's sovereignty and all that stuff. You know that right away, when somebody goes into that kind of a doctrinal error, that just shuts them off from the true cleansing work of the Holy Spirit. Because they think they're automatically sanctified and glorified and justified, and they think they're covered by the blood and everything's already covered, and they don't have to repent for their sins, and they don't go through their daily lives saying, "Lord, look at my heart. Show me if there's any wicked way in me." Because they think, you know, God's already done it all, and they can't have demons, and they can't do this, and God's going to, it's all by grace, and you can't do anything. If you try to do anything, you're trying to be saved by works. It's so ingrained in all these Christians today. They can't possibly ever get anywhere in God. And they'll be lucky if they end up saved. Because they're not cleansed at all. The whole purpose of salvation is to be sanctified and cleansed. To be cleansed inside. To have all these issues brought up one at a time so we can be cleansed of them. And they don't even care about that. They just think they're already cleansed. They're already covered. They're already justified, glorified, sanctified, just waiting to die and go to heaven. That's what King David said. "Search me, O God." Now, you can get to the place where you're walking in all the light you have, and your relationship with the Lord is as clear as you know it can be. You're doing everything the Lord's told you. You're obeying everything you know of. And when you get to that kind of place, that's especially a time we need to say, "Lord, dig deeper." Okay, it's dig deeper. If I'm walking all the ways I know to walk in, if I'm doing everything I know to do, if I'm walking all the light, then I don't want to sit here and think I'm perfected. I want you to dig deeper and show me something else. I'm not seeing something else here. You know, every day there's supposed to be a challenge. Every day God will bring something up for us to work on. And one of the ways the devil gets you into a place where you don't need that work is where you think you're saved by grace, it's all covered, God did it all, and blah, blah, blah. And the other way is when you know you're walking in the light, you know you're doing anything God's expecting you to do, is calling you to do, and you get this sort of this thing where, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm sure I'm not perfect, but I can't see anything." So that's where you got to go to God and say, "Oh, God, search me. Try me. Bring your stuff up that I'm not seeing now. You know, I took care of this. I took care of that. I got through that battle. I got through this issue. I got over that sin. I'm not doing this anymore. Now show me more so I can be clean." You know, the desire is to be clean, clean, clean on the inside. That's why David said that. Right before that, he says, "I hate your enemies with a perfect hatred." And he kept his law. You know, he's just saying, "I kept my law. I hate your enemies. I love righteousness. I hate iniquity. You know, I'm walking all my light I know, but now show me what else is wrong in here." You know, so what you're saying, Rich, is exactly right. You know, we got to keep on asking the Lord to cleanse us. Keep on cleansing. Keep on cleansing. That's one of the things we've been finding with the people we've been trying to help. They really don't have any idea what their condition is. Somebody is literally possessed with religious demons. They have no idea they're possessed. They think they're walking with God. Can you imagine being in such a state? And my heart goes out to people in that state because, my God, if they don't get delivered, what are they going to face when they stand before the Lord on Judgment Day? How devastated do you think you're going to be? you're not even saved. You're filled with demons, and you're expecting to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You get up there and say, "You're never saved. You're possessed. You're my enemy." And imagine what that's going to do to somebody when they hear that. So, got to keep asking God to cleanse us every day. I just had a short exhortation here tonight. I didn't really have very much. Something came up, and I was thinking about the cares of this life. We've known people over the years who have been very careful to deal with sin, to not walk and try not to walk in the flesh, try to, walk in the spirit, but they let the cares of this life get to them, deceive them, and take them right out. And what is so sad is people end up trading their eternal call, their eternal destiny, God's kingdom, for some temporary thing, from temporary experience, temporary pleasure, something to own, something to have, something to do in this life. And they get deceived, they don't understand, they've traded it. They think they can have that thing and keep going on in God, keep going on the high calling, end up as one of his kings and priests in the kingdom. And it's hard to watch people like that, especially if you've had fellowship with them, any kind of close fellowship with them. It's hard to watch them get deceived, go off, and forfeit their place in God's kingdom. And especially when you realize they don't even know what's happened. They go off sometimes, and they think you're just going a different way, and they're just walking high calling just like we are. And, we're no different than them. They're just going a different direction a little bit. They don't even realize, have no idea, the enemy has used their uncrucified desires, their uncrucified lusts, to deceive them and disqualify them from the race. They have no idea what's happened because they've been deceived. Satan has used those things in them that they're not working on, that they're not engaged in fighting, to deceive them. That's what's so horrible about deception. See, when you get deceived, you don't instantly change into some kind of evil-looking criminal or monster. All right? We don't feel any different. We don't look any different. We don't even act any different a lot of times. We don't suddenly lose our desire to walk with God or our desire to attain the place he's prepared for us in his kingdom. We don't lose our religious knowledge. We don't lose our spiritual understanding that we've gained. We don't lose our desire to pray or read the Bible or minister to others or listen to Christian music, listen to Christian sermons. We don't lose the desire to watch what's going on in the end times here, watching prophetic events. We don't lose any of those desires or any of those things. Nothing changes as far as we're concerned, because we have no idea we've been deceived. We don't perceive the change that's taking place. We can't perceive it. And we go about our daily lives thinking everything's fine, everything's the same. But it's not. We've disqualified ourselves from the race. We've traded our place in the kingdom for something temporal in this life, and we don't even know it. That's the nature of deception. Now, Jesus said deception, especially religious deception, would be the hallmark of the last days. The most famous prophetic discourse in the entire New Testament is Matthew chapter 24. The very first sign to look for to know when you're at the end of the age is deception, especially religious deception. Matthew 24, 3 through 5. It says, "And as they sat," as Jesus and his disciples, "as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you." First thing, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. So you got many will come in a deceiving spirit and deceive many more. Three times in that one chapter, Jesus warned. He says, false prophets and false Christs are coming to deceive many. So the first and most important sign of the last days is religious deception. But there's different kinds of religious deception, different levels of religious deception. There's doctrinal deception, theological deception, and then there's experiential deception. And have you noticed that most of today's ministries, especially those of all the apostasy watchers out there, they're all focused on doctrinal deception. Every one of them. They're all busy straightening out each other's doctrine, accusing each other of preaching false doctrine. The spiritual yardstick they all use to judge whether or not you're a true teacher, a false teacher, a true prophet, a false prophet, is doctrine. And if the situation wasn't so dangerous, it would be amusing to watch all these ministers constantly talk about doctrine and try to correct each other's doctrine. They all think they're so smart, and they're all convinced they can't be deceived, because they know the Bible so well, and they studied the Bible, and they got all their doctrine straight according to the Bible. They don't really believe that the greatest deception in the last days is going to be experiential deception, not doctrinal deception. Experiential deception is a lot more dangerous in many cases than doctrinal deception. Now, according to what Jesus said in Matthew 24 there, the reason so many people are going to be deceived by these people who come in the name of Christ is because all these false teachers and false prophets, they're going to be performing signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. In other words, again, the deception is going to be primarily experiential, not doctrinal. All you got to do is look at the Vineyard Movement for that. The Vineyard Movement and all its spinoffs, what kind of deception was that? What kind of deception was it promoting and exporting everywhere? Was it more doctrinal or more experiential? It was the Vineyard experience that drew tens of thousands of people from all the world to Toronto, Canada. It's that same experience that draws people to all the churches that were infected by that Vineyard thing. Same with Rodney Howard Brown. The same with the Pensacola and Todd Bentley. They weren't going there to get their doctrine straight or get more good doctrine. They were going there because there was experience to be had there. And they were being experientially deluded. They walked away with another Christ leading, guiding, and talking to them that they thought was Jesus Christ. They didn't go down there and get a false doctrine. They went down there and got a false Christ. Pensacola and all the other so-called revivals that have taken place in the last 35 years are not about preaching false doctrine, although they do preach false doctrine. It's all about experience. Okay, deluded Christian ministers have brought millions of believers into a false Christian experience, introduced them into a false Christ through signs and wonders. So signs and wonders aren't really about doctrine, although they do impart false doctrine and false theology in those places. That's not their main thing. Signs and wonders are about getting you into a false Christ, getting you into experience, into a relationship with another Jesus. They're about power. It's not doctrine or theology that empowers these people to do signs and wonders. It's not doctrine and theology they're imparting to people. It's supernatural power, supernatural experiences. They're doing signs and wonders, and the power comes from Satan. The flesh has no power. And see, all these apostasy watchers and all these fundamentalist Bible teachers, I don't know what they think is going on, but they're saying all these guys are preaching false doctrine. But the people aren't going down there and getting deluded because they're preaching false doctrine. The people are going to these places getting deluded because there's an experience to be had there. And they walk away with a new experience. So Jesus isn't talking about people in the end times, false teachers, false prophets, false Christ, simply coming and ministering in the flesh and deceiving them with doctrine. He's talking about people who are ministering in the spirit, power in the spirit, experience in the spirit, but they're ministering in the wrong spirit. It's the wrong kind of power. It's the wrong kind of experience. It's the wrong Christ. They're not ministering wrong doctrine so much as they are wrong experience. Of course, I'm not saying doctrine isn't important or that correcting false doctrine isn't necessary. It is. You know, I spend a great deal of time correcting, exposing false doctrine in this room. But I also talk a lot about experiential deception. Experiential deception. Because I believe experiential deception is the most dangerous kind of deception. And it's the kind we're facing in the last days. Of course, that's not the case with most of these ministries. The only thing they talk about is doctrinal deception because that's all they know. They think the cause of every wrong thing that's going on, including the whole apostasy, is because of wrong doctrine. Or people trying to serve God in the, quote, in the flesh. They have no understanding of the kind of experiential deception that comes from the operation of demon spirits, and especially religious demon spirits, in the lives of people who are Christians. Because first of all, they don't believe a Christian can have a demon. Right? So they don't even believe that. So that's that whole realm is right out the window with them. They won't even consider any of that. A lot of things are going on in people's lives, experiential delusion coming from demon spirits posing as Jesus Christ. They're calling the flesh. And they're saying it all happened because you're listening to the wrong doctrine. All right, so they're just a bigger part of the problem as the false teachers and the false prophets out there who are doing all this stuff. They're no better. They're just preaching false doctrine too. And that doctrine they're preaching ain't going to help anybody. Because if you got an experiential delusion going on in your life, you don't need a correct doctrine of the Trinity, brother. You need somebody to come along and say, hey, that Christ you're serving is not Jesus Christ. Those miracles you're experiencing aren't from God miracles. They're miracles from Satan. That's what they need to hear. They don't need to hear, oh, you went somewhere and got ministered to in the flesh by some preacher, give you wrong doctrine, and that's the reason you're in the condition you're in. I think they ask these kind of people, how do you think people like Todd Bentley and Rick Joyner, how do you think they got in the condition they're in right now? I don't see how most of people can even understand what's going on with Todd Bentley. And of course, they say he was never a Christian. He could have never been a Christian because he's so deceived. And of course, a Christian can't end up that deceived. Well, I don't know if Todd Bentley and Rick Joyner and all those kinds of guys were ever Christians or not. They certainly could have been. They're not now, but they could have been at one time. Any Christian can end up like Todd Bentley. Any Christian can end up like Rick Joyner if they live after the flesh, if they refuse to deal with the demon spirits that are attacking them and trying to overcome them. Living in the flesh especially opens a door for demons to start operating in our lives. It's our uncrucified desires, our uncrucified lusts that the demons use against us. They turn into weapons that they can use to destroy us, get entangled in situations and entangled in things, and then they end up destroying us. So Paul said in Galatians 6:14, he was crucified to the world and the world was crucified to him, right? Well, if we're like Paul in that sense, we're dead to the world, then our flesh won't be desiring and lusting after the things of the world. And consequently, demon spirits won't be able to use worldly desires and worldly lusts to entice us or deceive us into something or eventually destroy us. That's why it's important to crucify the flesh, have the world crucified us, have the flesh crucified us, deal with sin, the issues of sin, self-will, and all these things. Because any area that's loose and rampant and hasn't been dealt with, demons can take advantage of and use against us. They use it against us. It's so sad that so many people are being deceived and overtaken. They have no idea how, why it happens, how to stop it, what to do about it. They go to a preacher, and all he can say is, oh, get the right doctrine, go up the altar, get saved again. You never saved in the first place. It's tragic. Any Adamic desire, any Adamic lust that has not been crucified with Christ is a weapon that Satan can use against us. It's a tool that demon spirits can use to entangle us and to entrap us in things and eventually destroy us. And that's the reason I'm continually warning people about the work of demon spirit. They also use sin to deceive and destroy us. When we engage in sin, something we know is wrong, that opens a door for a spirit to take more and more control over that particular area of our lives. That's why it's so important that if we have a problem with some besetting sin, we don't just give into it and keep giving into it. If you fall into a sin, get up and go on. Get up and renounce it, ask forgiveness, determine not to do it again. If you fall into a sin, don't just lay there and say, oh, I'll never be able to get out of this thing. This is the fourth, the fifth, the hundredth, the thousandth time. I'll never get over it. Because if you just lay there and keep indulging in it, that gives the demons more power over that area of your life. See, every time you give into that sin, the demons gain a little bit of control over you. If you keep resisting it, they lose control. If you keep giving into it, they gain more and more control. They get stronger in that area that you're having a problem with. And pretty soon, if you don't fight against it, they can establish a stronghold in that area. So these demon spirits are very tricky. They're very powerful. If you're not fighting them, you're going to be overcome by them in this hour. Now, what I wanted to get to here is, you know, those of us who are trying to walk in some kind of holiness, those of us who are trying to obey the Lord, trying to walk in the high calling and attain the prize there, you know, we're trying to walk in the spirit, not the flesh, and we're trying to cease from those things we know are sin. But there's often an area that people kind of overlook. They kind of get sideswiped by because it's not really sin. It's not it can be the flesh, but it's not necessarily walking in the flesh. And that is the cares of this life, the legitimate, legal, proper cares of this life. The cares of this life are not necessarily sin. They're not necessarily flesh, although they can be. Many of the cares of this life are legitimate, but it's very easy to let the cares of this life distract us and eventually even consume us if we're not watching. You know, Jesus warned us about this in the parable of the seed and the sower. The seed which fell on the thorns, among the thorns, he said, it started to produce fruit, but that fruit eventually was choked by the cares of this life. Luke 8:14, when he's explaining the parable to his disciples, he says, and that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. In Mark, talking about the same thing, this is NIV, he says, still others like seed sown among thorns hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Okay, so if we're not careful, the cares of this life can begin to choke the incorruptible seed that was planted in us. If we're not careful, the cares of this life, legitimate, proper cares of this life, can begin to kill us. They can begin to kill the fruit that the spirit is coming forth in us. And don't think Satan And all his demons won't take advantage of that kind of situation. He'll jump on that quicker than you can spit, all right? Just like living in the flesh or sinning openly opens a door for demons to work more effectively in our lives to get strong, to gain, you know, strongholds and footholds, so too, allowing ourselves to be encumbered by the cares of this life, that's going to do the same thing. And before we know it, these spirits will deceive us and they'll take us where we don't want to go. And we won't even realize what has happened. We won't realize the cares of this life are consuming all of our time. We'll be blind. Once demons get in there and blind us and deceive us, you know, it's hard to get out of. Very hard. Somebody has to come along and tell us, basically. And it's very easy to get involved in the cares of this life, especially right now, because the American economy is tanking. It's being destroyed. Okay? And it's being increasingly difficult for American Christians to maintain any kind of what they've known in the past as a, you know, normal lifestyle. You know, many are losing their jobs. They're losing their homes. I mean, their kids are moving back in with them because the kids can't get jobs. And the cares of this life are piling up. And every day, it takes more and more time just to survive. And the cares of this life, they keep increasing. They keep calling for more and more of our attention, more of our time. You know, those who haven't learned already how to keep those cares in their proper place and perspective in a time of prosperity in this nation, they're not going to be able to cut it when the whole thing collapses. And survival is just going to be an everyday thing. It's going to be all you do every day to survive. You know, not going to be able to cut it. We're going to be consumed by the cares of life. I'm telling you, in the coming days, you can just mark it off. You can bet on it. In the coming days, demon spirits are going to use the cares of this life to destroy many, many, many people. Because our economy is going down. Our money is going to be worth nothing but toilet paper in the near future. And life is going to get tough. And if you haven't been able to learn how to handle the cares of this life now, when it's relatively easy, we'll never manage the cares of this life when hard times really come. I'm going to read you another scripture in Luke. Luke 21 is basically the same as Matthew 24. It's talking about the end times and the signs of the last days. Anyway, in verse 34, he says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare it shall come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things and stand before the Son of Man." So, you know, as if killing our spiritual fruit and also opening doors for demons to deceive us isn't bad enough, Jesus said, those who allow themselves to be caught up with the cares of this life will find the day of the Lord coming upon them unawares. They're not even going to see it coming. Not only will we not be ready for the day of the Lord, we'll be so consumed with the cares of this life, we won't even see it coming. We're just like the unsaved, like a thief of the night. Nobody sees it coming until it's here. Well, that's a sad state of affairs to be in if you're a child of God. You know, it's so easy, especially if you got bills piling up and you're in debt. It's so easy to have your life consumed with the cares of this life. We got to learn to place all our cares on Jesus and start walking in faith more. Faith in Jesus to supply our needs. Faith in Jesus to supply everything instead of the government and our jobs and everybody else. Okay, and it's hard to do. I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm just saying it's what we have to do. We got to place our faith more in Jesus as the days go by than in other things. Or the cares of this life are going to consume. And there's many people out there being consumed right now by the cares of this life. And they have no idea. They think they're serving Jesus just like they always have. They have no idea their fruit's being killed. No idea Satan's deceiving them. They think they're just the same as they always were. Going on in God. They sing songs all day, listen to preachers, think they're going on a high calling, but they're not. Satan's deceived them, and they're out of the race. You know, it's a very dangerous thing Satan can use. And it comes to the side of people. They don't look for it because they're on watch for sin and on watch for not walking in the flesh and all these kinds of things. Not keeping the cares of this life, the legitimate cares of this life, in their proper place. It can destroy our spiritual fruit. It can cause us to be deceived by demons and not even realize it, have no idea we're deceived. It can cause us to think we're ready for the day of the Lord when we're not. And it can cause us to not be even aware of the day of the Lord's approach. So it's very important that we keep the cares of this life, things that are necessary, things that are legal, things that are legitimate, in their proper place. Okay, we got to keep our eyes on all these different areas. I know it's hard, but you got to do it. All right? Okay, that was my thing I had tonight. I didn't have very much. Looks like Mama's got something to share.